Okay, call to order. The regular meeting of the mayor and the council of the board of Borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. And a quick notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting in the Borough Hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call. Mr. Calasardo? Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Cusick?
Here.
Mr. Dockerty?
Here.
Ms. Von Leitner?
Here.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mayor Boston? Here. Before we move on, it is with great sadness that we join with all of the New Jersey in mourning the loss of our Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver. From her early days serving on Essex County Board of Chosen Freeholders in 1996 to becoming the first African-American woman to serve as Assembly Speaker in 2010, to becoming the second Lieutenant Governor in the state history in 2018, she has been a dedicated and passionate public servant. So we send our most sincere condolences to her family and the friends and the residents of New Jersey. So when we stand, please remember this wonderful woman and just keep her in your thoughts. Stand for presentation. Inside the prayer. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I'm over.
Okay. So now I need a motion and a second to approve the previous meeting minutes for July 13th.
So moved, Dockerty.
Cusick, seconds.
And roll call. Mr. Calasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dockerty?
Yes.
Ms. Von Leitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
The minutes have passed. Thank you. So, moving on, Dave was stuck at work. But yeah, this is why he's employee of the month. So we will circle back when when the boss lets him go. So when he can make it in.
Do we know anything?
So, now, moving on to unfinished business. Ordinance 4-2023. This is a second reading, impossible adoption. And so I need a motion.
Crowley moves.
And a second.
Mercer.
And roll call. Do I just open the book here?
Yeah.
Or all in favor?
For what?
For to open it?
Open the public hearing, right?
Yeah. So,
we need a motion on the ordinance, a second, and then a motion to open the public hearing.
Okay.
I think you just did you did it on the motion, but not on the public hearing.
Okay, now I need a motion.
I'll make a motion. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So, questions, comments for this? Yeah.
Josh Armstrong, 60 Bay Side Drive. I don't know about this language or any unnatural kind or create a public nuisance, discomfort, or hazard. That's pretty vague. Discomfort. I mean, I'd say I don't like a lot of lighting that people's houses have. But just because I don't like it, there needs to be a standard. And also, does this mean we can't have dance parties with strobic lights and other things without borough approval? Because that's what it says. So I think this ordinance, I don't know where it came from or who drafted it, but it seems to me it needs to be tightened up. It needs to be tightened up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 9130. I also have a couple of questions. And it also has to do with language. 45 degrees above nadir. What's nadir?
I believe nadir is ground level.
Why don't you just say ground level?
I think that's a common term used in these type of ordinances. But yeah, that, it could be reworded to say that, but that's what the governing body wishes.
Simple as that, usually. There's a lot of areas around town where the residential R1, R2, R3 zones bump up against commercial, historic business district, light industrial, the highway zone. Is the same, or the same standards applied to them so that there's no light washing in from their property onto residential property? In other words, is it apples to apples?
7-Eleven. Wasn't it the same type of issue with 7-Eleven that they had the neighbor had an issue and went over and...
Well, they negotiated with the neighbor, which was great, and they were very cooperative.
Right.
But that's one case. So I understand the planning board has standards, and they always watch out for wash into other properties. But if the planning board's job is to guarantee the same standard as in the residential zones, why isn't that in here? In other words, we're going to maybe build a four-story building on First Avenue soon. Are the same standards applied to that building so it doesn't wash into the neighbor's yard? Prime example, 158 First Avenue. The parking lot is 4 feet away from the house next door to them, right? It would seem to me that the standards have to be the same no matter what zone you're in, rather than just R1, R2, or R3.
I think the thought is that we can address business district, businesses in a separate ordinance. I think the idea here was just to tackle residential districts. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe...
No, I get that. I get that. You don't want to fix the light, but to me, the transitional areas between zones is the bigger problem, not from house to house.
Yes, yeah, so I think...
From zone to zone.
Right, so I think the emphasis here, and Mr. Councilman Crowley is correct, was there seems to be a trend with residential illumination everywhere. As illumination gets more advanced, LED lighting becomes more sophisticated. In a lot of neighborhoods throughout the state, throughout Monmouth County, residential neighbors, as you see, people are putting a lot of illumination under light that they never had before. They're putting a lot of soffit lighting, like those puck soffit lighting, moving down. So there's been a lot of concerns on a municipal level, not just us, throughout various municipalities, of illumination via complaints by residents and concerns by residents, illumination shining from one home directly into another, right? And it being invasive.
Yeah, I would also add the commercial lighting is an issue that the planning board deals with. These residences don't necessarily go before a planning board. So the object was to deal with problems that people are having in residential neighborhoods, leaving the planning board or the zoning board to set the standards. There are standards in our zoning ordinance.
But there are businesses that add light that never come to the planning board either. Same difference.
Well,
businesses add spotlights, whatever, new lights on the front of the house, businesses add lights, just depending on security issues or whatever.
Yes, yeah, so on the commercial side of it, you know, that leans into the code enforcement aspect for codes that are already written. On the residential side, there's really not much there, if anything, to assist a neighbor who has a concern with another neighbor who may have illumination that's considered possibly invasive or shining right into their home and into their bedroom or what have you. Generally speaking, if a resident has that type of concern, and let's say they call the police at 3 a.m. because a neighbor's light for 2 months has been shining into their home, you know, like many things, it would be handled by an officer knocking on the door and saying, can you help this neighbor out here? Can you assisted, maybe tilt your light in another direction slightly, you know. The intent isn't to escalate things beyond that, right? But as of right now, there really isn't anything in place to assist residents in the community should a neighbor decide to increase their illumination dramatically in the home. And that trend is happening throughout the nation, throughout the state, the county. That's what the intent here was.
Understood. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
Questions, comments? I think Mr. Ferragina, you said it eloquently. We do in Atlantic Highlands have neighbors. They ask, even if you do ask them politely to take their spotlights and move them down or up, that's up to their prerogative. So we need to have something in place just so that this doesn't happen anymore.
You have a motion in a second.
Yes. And so now we can move on for a vote. Mr. Caserta?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Von Leitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 04-2023 has passed. Thank you. Thank you. Ordinance 10, reserve handicap parking on public streets, second reading and possible adoption. I need a motion and second.
I'll move that, Dougherty.
And then a motion. And then a motion and second to go into public.
Crowley moves. Dougherty second.
And all in favor again?
Aye.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the... Yes,
Josh Wanna, 60 Bay Side Drive. I think the name, address, and photo of the handicapped person should be on the signs. So everybody knows why this space is reserved for somebody. It will also relieve the police department of having to enforce it, because you're going to be inundated with requests. People already think the spaces in front of their houses are theirs, even when they're not. And I just want to say, referring to the other thing that I, well, first of all, when we did have a handicap thing, it was stolen out of our car. So I know, and everybody, and I think really you need more specificity as to how handicapped you have to be to have a reserved space. Because I see people with handicap things, they, you know, they have a boot on their foot, they drive in and get out and walk into the supermarket. I mean, you know, let's be reasonable. I just want to refer back to another thing. I think nadir is a better word because it refers to the light itself without any reference to where it is.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Mr. Fisher, then.
Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. There's a couple of things in here that I don't necessarily agree with. There's a requirement that the driveway slope be of less than a certain amount for handicap access, but it doesn't say anything about sidewalks or access to the front entry of the, or the rear entry of the building. That should be the same requirement. I mean, if you're parking on the street, you're supposed to have handicap access to the front of the house. So I don't know how you could justify getting the sign in the space if you don't have the proper sidewalks and access into the building. I don't see that mentioned anywhere in here. That should be part of the investigative process by the police before a parking space is granted, shouldn't it?
I don't know, so this, the chief of police was very instrumental in bringing this to our attention and to writing this up. He's not here this evening. I don't want to speak on his behalf, but I'm going to try to. So I think his main concern was to have the ordinance number one be consistent with other similar handicap ordinances in the county. Also, he was interested in complying with what's in the best interest of the borough property, which is the streets, and that what you're referring to really pertains to the residents of private property. And if they're within, if their building and their home is built to the required parameters, then he's fine with that. But it's really focusing on the public way, and that's why the percentage of slope there is referred to. But beyond that, I can't really comment. He's not here to interject.
Understood. In section E, on the second page, it says that the application fees are waived for veterans in the United States, which that's great. But I don't think we should be charging handicapped people $100 to get a space in front of their house when every other person in the borough has space in front of their house and it costs them nothing.
That was a concern that was raised when the first draft of this ordinance came up, and part of the explanation from the chief of police and DPW was the cost of what the signage would be, because there's going to have to be a structure to hold the signage up, creating the sign, and painting the curb, so there were expenses associated with it.
So we did an analysis internally of how much the average pole and sign cost, and around $100. In fact, it might have been a little bit more. So
it was more.
Yeah, so the intent of the $100 wasn't for the municipality to make money, but we'd love to make money whenever we can.
Hey.
But I'm not saying at the expense of handicapped individuals, obviously, but in this particular scenario, that is to assist the borough with that cost that it would lay out for the signage.
And that said too, Mark, there is a provision there where the chief can waive the fee.
Again.
Yes.
I don't see anything in the language that striping is necessary. It calls for a sign, but it doesn't call for striping. Now, the state law says that any handicapped space is supposed to be blue striped, so that there's no question. I just fear that if you have a sign without the striping, somebody could say, this isn't a compliant space, I can park wherever the heck I want.
Well, so when the state law will supersede, right? So wouldn't it be automatically?
Well, if you're going to put it in here, put it in the way the state law says it. Don't have conflicting signals. If it requires blue striping, put blue striping in here. In addition to the sign. And the fine, I think the fine sign under it is also required. Whatever that is.
Councilman, I think if we striped it, though, that any handicapped person could park there, what we're trying to do is limit it to the person who's got the permit.
But how can you do that?
It's
a handicapped parking space. It doesn't say for John Doe, it just says for a handicapped person.
The sign is going to be permit parking. It's going to, I just looked at the sign. It's going to say permit parking. It's going to be assigned to the individual who's got the permit.
It requires a handicapped permit, not a...
No, there's actually, because unfortunately I'm more aware of this over the last few years than I would have been.
Right, exactly, right.
And so you can go into a municipality or town, and I've seen this many, many times, and even though I've got a disabled placard, it wouldn't allow me to park in some places because the sign language is very specific about this disabled spot is reserved for this structure. So it's, you know, that's all worked out. DPW will get that, but you can make the language very clear.
Okay. The the cost for the fine and the offenses under section H, we have fixed dollar amounts in there. We should probably think about leaving them out and just go with whatever the state statute is at the time. Otherwise, you're going to have to keep changing this if the state changes the amounts. And we all know how much fun it is to get an ordinance change. Just a suggestion. And the last thing is, there is a handicap parking space on 3rd Avenue. It's not in the ordinance. It has a sign, it has blue striping, but nobody knows how it got there. So my question is that space grandfathered in this ordinance? They don't have to go through all of the investigative checks to see if it's compliant?
So I didn't read any wording in there referencing that space being grandfathered. My assumption would be that it would not. I'd have to speak with legal counsel after the meeting about that. And we would look into that, but off the cuff, my inclination would be that no, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, and believe me, if a person needs a handicapped space, I'm all for it, but that one came out of nowhere. I just happened to notice it one day, and I checked the ordinance, and there's nothing. I would have heard if it was an ordinance change here.
Yeah, no, we'll happily look into it. That's fine.
That's all I have, thanks.
Thank you.
Jake Fever, 4 Balancewood Road. I just wanted to quickly circle back to Mr. Reinsdorf's point about having the person's name and the phone number. That could possibly be a HIPAA violation or an ADA mm-hmm. violation. But also, anyone that has, like, for instance, I have a cognitive slash developmental disability. I may need that parking placard because I have an anxiety disorder, so I need to be close to the building or something like that. A disability is not always physically presenting, and also with putting the name up there, you may be outing yourself when you don't want to be outed. So just, if you, I don't think it would be a good idea if we did that. Like, if the thing says, like, parking for permit, handicap parking for permit only for a spot, blah, 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 or this address, that's fine, but I don't want to see, I don't think it would be in the best interest, God forbid someone gets sued, of outing anyone, because you don't know who has a disability. Mm-hmm. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Jacob.
Anyone
else?
I did notice Mr. Groundflower has...
Yeah, that's correct. So what we have to do is vote, right? So, roll call. Mr. Calcerda.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Weinleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ordinance 10-2023 has passed. Thank you. Okay, so since our employee of the month is here now, I'd just like to say a few wonderful words about him. So, Dave Groundbauer began employment in the sanitation department in November of 2004. In 2014, Dave moved to the building and grounds where he does excel at keeping the borough looking neat and tidy. Dave puts his heart and soul into the lawn in front of the borough hall, which always looks meticulous. Dave is always willing to lend a hand to the street department. He is always available to assist with standby and overtime or any special projects that need help. Dave is a wonderful dad to two beautiful daughters, and we just want to thank Dave for all he does to keep our town beautiful, and you really do.
You're welcome.
So thank you.
It's always greener when you're around.
Working all the time, working. Here. Oh, we figured that out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. What is that, Dave? He really does do so much. I know he helps setting up for Christmas Spectacular, and me with my nitpicking and making things like absolutely perfect. He's there, so I should thank him. Thank him again. So now, moving on to public comment on the consent and agenda items. No way.
Anyone on Zoom?
Is there anyone? Oh, sorry. Is there anyone on Zoom?
No hand raised there.
Okay, so I don't see any hands, so I'm going to be moving.
Excuse me. Question.
Oh, sure.
I do have something that I'd like to bring before the council, but I take it that's in number 13.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, moving. So, okay. 12 people do? To get used to resolution of consent agenda. These items will be enacted in one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 113, providing grace period for the third quarter taxes. Resolution 114, authorizing purchase of digital recording system. Resolution 115, special item of revenue chapter 159, clean communities grant. Resolution 116, special item revenue chapter 159, stormwater assistance grant. 117, special item of revenue chapter 159, sustainable Jersey grant. 118, 159, recycling tonnage grant. Resolution 119, chapter 159, delete grant. And 120, authorizing execution of commodity resale agreement. And last one, 121, payment of bills, $2,157,673.03. I need a motion and a second.
Early moves.
I'll second, and just want to note that a big chunk of the payment of bills is the taxes to the schools. And also thank that the you. LEAP grant is the reimbursement from Seabright for the LEAP grant that we have, yes. Which is wonderful that that's finally come through.
Yes. Okay. With that, we'll call Mr. Colasardo.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Ornleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed. Okay, now moving on, this is just an introduction for Ordinance 11, 2023, amending the fee schedule of street excavations. I need a motion and a second.
I'll move that, Dougherty.
Second, Crowley.
Okay, and roll call. Mr. Colasardo.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Ornleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ordinance 11, 2023 has been properly introduced. Public hearing and possible adoption, September 14th. Ordinance 12, 10-minute parking. This is the introduction again. I need a motion and second.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
And roll call. Mr. Colasardo.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Ornleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ordinance 12, 2023 has been properly introduced. Public hearing and possible adoption, September 14th. Okay, Ordinance 13, appropriating $311,000 for various capital improvements. Introduction, I need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion, but I also, I'll wait for a second. I have a comment.
I'll second.
Rob, this is the money that we're talking about is going towards different projects in town. Is it possible to get a breakdown of what those projects are?
Yeah, I could email you a breakdown. I have some of them actually here. So this is going to mostly repairs that are needed in certain elements in the borough. For example, to replace broken or repair LED Victorian lights in the town, to put a bus stop concrete pad with a bench here at the bus stop corner. We don't have one. So right now when people are waiting for the public bus, they sit on the curb. And it's dangerous, and I think we're better than that. So we're going to put in a concrete pad and put a bench on there so that people can sit down to wait for the public bus. Leaks on the borough hall, windows and roof, emergency generator service and registration, guy rail damage to various areas in the town, et cetera, et cetera. But I can email you a more detailed list.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
so we have motion second, roll call. Mr. Colasardo.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Ornleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ordinance 13, 2023 has been properly introduced. Public hearing possible adoption September 14th. Okay, thank you. Reports,
council. I have no voice, and
therefore
no report. Okay, then.
Come on.
We got you, Mr. Council.
Councilman Crowley.
Thank you, Mayor. Police. I want to thank the Atlantic County Police Department for your part in keeping the 4th of July there. Continuing to keep it a safe event for all of us. Thank you for your hard work. Also, to Sergeant Fair for his role in creating and executing a great job with the traffic plan. If you'll relay that downstairs, please, that would be great. And also, my thanks, for all your assistance your department provided for our movie night last weekend. I'll talk more about that, but we had a big crowd and couldn't have done it without you guys. Sergeant's meeting is going to occur next month to reevaluate department goals, policies, and procedures. These occur biannually. Also, I want to acknowledge some of the work the police department did this past, in the last few weeks, really. You know, we talk about mental health issues. They're all around us. The department goes through a lot of training to deal with mental health issues. And just in the last few weeks, the department was able to successfully intercede with three different individuals that were contemplating suicide, and all of them were resolved successfully. So, thank you. You guys take on a lot of work. Captain Murtha, I got to see Captain last Sunday, looking good. He's on the mend, and so our thoughts and prayers are with him as he continues on the right path back to good health, 100%. Our Class 2 Special Officer Doherty has started the academy, and he's doing well, which is great. It's such a success story for this community. As you know, Tommy grew up here, and his dad was on the force for many years as a sergeant, so it's fun to see that the family tradition continues. It's great. Thanks to our Borough Garage, Jimmy, and your guys for your continued good work in keeping squad cars all in maintained properly and looking great. Patrolman Anderson has been creating new tactical go bags and doing so at a really low cost to the borough, which is excellent. And to sum up, July there were 1,378 calls, and that included 43 first aid and fire calls, 12 motor vehicle crashes, 17 arrests, 279 of those calls were traffic stops, 109 non-parking summonses, and 46 parking summonses, and 9 DWI arrests. And Mark Fisher, there were 14 summonses in the Holly Tree lot, just so you know.
Excellent.
Yep. First aid squad, July, they had 45 calls, and so far year to date, 265 calls they've answered. DPW, next townwide brush pickup is in October. Folks, please remember, don't bring your brush or your leaves out into the streets, especially on a rain event like we have today where there's a lot of rain. That stuff winds up washing down the street and it's clogging all of our drains. And we don't want that because that creates flooding and it creates a whole other issue. And we get another department involved with DPW trying to maintain all that stuff. Borough Yard is open 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Sanitation, congrats to you guys. You won a municipal auction and they now have nine new industrial trash cans that are going to be power washed and painted, and then they'll get distributed throughout town. Recycling, please don't bundle your bottles and your cans together with your paper and cardboard. And it just slows down the works and they have to be sorted out, and that's just a lot of time consuming work for the gang down there at the Borough Yard, and that takes them off the streets doing the work that they need to do for all of us. And please refer to your borough calendar. And if you look at that, it's one-stop shopping for any questions that you have regarding DWP schedules, pickups, what they take down of yard, what they don't take, anything you need to know is there. Recreation, I alluded to it a moment ago. We've been doing our movie nights for almost 4 years, and we've been, since we ended the drive-ins and we've gone through the lawn, we average about 35 people show up. Decided this year to move things to Sundays, and after our success last year with Goonies, we did Sandlot this weekend, we had 200 people show up. So it was just great to turn around and see all the faces, all the kids, the families, and know that, you know, we're putting on something that's bringing the community together. And I want to thank also council for continuing to finance those, our recreation committee, obviously, first aid squad who was there representing, our harbor commission, our harbor staff, our harbor manager, and our DPW staff who help us bring all of our equipment down there, and of course our police department. And Rob, you're always a great point person when we're trying to get those organized. And then next to last thing, this Sunday down at the Marina Lawn, it's our third annual music festival and food truck festival. We're going to have 16 food trucks, one vegetarian option for our vegetarian friends that like music, which is a lot. Four bands. The bands start at 4 o'clock and go till 9:30 or 10. The trucks get there at 1 o'clock, start serving, and they wind up going till 9. We'll have artist vendors on the street there, And we're also going to have a beer, wine, and sangria down there. Strawberry Pie will start off, then Chris Morrissey, a local. He'll be our second slot, and then Sharon Lasher and the Flashers, great band. They were there last year. And then Cranston Dean is going to wind everything up. Last thing, our emergency and informational radio is on the air. So we're live. We pulled the trigger on that the other day. The signal, I can hear it all the way. I drove down to CVS. That direction, I can actually hear it at Target on 35. Not that they want to hear about what's going on in Lyme Commons. Maybe they do.
They should.
Down on Bayside, you can hear it. The signal is strong, but I'm telling you right now, it's still a little scratchy, and there's sort of like a waterfall sound in there. It's a finely tuned instrument that I've been doing small adjustments over the days. It's getting better. The range is there. We'll clean it up. Just bear with me. It just takes a little time to noodle it to get it into the right spot. But there's some great tips from Lance Hudney from our first aid squad for a heat stroke. Our chief is on there talking about baby seat installations and vacation drive-bys from the police department. And so I urge your committees, if you have content, please get it to me. I'll make sure it gets on the air, okay? And we'll pump out the information. But thank you. That's it.
John, do you want to mention the station?
Oh, yeah, thank you. That would help. When you're going home, 1690 on your AM dial. You can hit a preset on your car, and it'll be there for you. And so if there's an emergency, you can go to your car radio. You can go to Walgreens, CVS, Target, whatever, buy a portable radio for under $20, keep some fresh batteries, which you should have for your emergency kit anyway, and you can dial to 69 and you can get reports on anything that's going on, either in town or for emergency. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. And Councilwoman Kusick.
Sure. Good evening, everyone. On the senior citizens side of the world, Roy DeLoso, the chief, and I met a week and a half ago or so concerning the senior assurance program. We'd very much like to expand that, possibly any expansion in the sense of not only the number of people who will be benefiting, but the number of people who will be helping us out. Again, the issue is the police department doesn't have a dispatcher on the weekend, so one of the officers has to come in and make these phone calls, and it's pretty much a waste of the time of the police officer to be calling to make sure that the invalids are okay. So it's something we want to do, and we'll be working with some community service agencies to try to expand it and maybe some other opportunities to work with the frail elderly. Office of Emergency Management, we met last night. It was only a very small group of us. Only four of us showed up. I guess August is not a good day to have a meeting. All the members continue to take advantage of the FEMA programs, the state and the county OEM trainings, and utilizing that information to make sure that we are up to speed with all of the things from an emergency management perspective. The Atlantic Highlands OEM was praised at the county meeting, the Monmouth County meeting of the emergency coordinators, for doing two things. One, they're the only agency responding to drills in the county right now, uniformly. They've gone to every single drill that has happened, whereas it's here, there, kind of hitting us of who else shows up. So we're very proud of that. And they also were acknowledged at the county meeting for properly entering information related to any upcoming events. So the event on Sunday, they've already had that information in, so the surrounding community emergency services is aware that there will be a large number of people. In October, there is going to be at the UN a very large gathering of people, and all of the local county, not only our county, but also Ocean County, have been notified that there may be some issues, that need emergency services. So we're already up and running and being prepared for that. Lastly, the OEM Facebook page is up and running. And if you get a chance, please look at it. Just get on Facebook, and it's a full word, Atlantic Highlands OEM, and you'll see some interesting information there. As far as the Veterans Committee, we have not met, and I have no report.
Thank you.
Mayor?
You.
I'm so sorry. If I don't say this, I'm going to be really upset with myself. I want to, in regard to the radio, Jimmy Phillips and the DPW crew and Borough Hall Bob have been phenomenal in getting everything put together with that antenna and getting that room set away, and I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't thank them mm-hmm. for all their hard work. So, thank you.
Bob is such an asset.
No, Jimmy, you too. But thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Gussman.
Thank you, Mayor. I have no report tonight on finance, personnel, or fire. On behalf of my vocally challenged colleague, I will give the Environmental Commission report per Chairman Deacon. The Commission continues to make progress on an EV charger proposal, but we're not quite ready to make news yet on that, hopefully very soon. The Commission reviewed the 161st Avenue proposal, I'll speak more about that in a couple of minutes, and transmitted recommendations to the Planning Board regarding environmental concerns with that application. The ERI subcommittee, the ERI's Environmental Resource Inventory, has met multiple times and is progressing work on that. The intent is to issue an updated ERI to align with the master plan development timeline. If I recall correctly, we need to start reviewing our master plan in 2026. Am I right on that, Mr. Romeyer?
I believe so.
Yes, thank you. And finally, the EC discussed the current state of the Denholz project in an early report at this time that the fire department, the county hazmat, and DPW were on site. That ends my report, Councilman. I hope I did you proud. Thank you. Perhaps unsurprisingly, I'll spend the bulk of my time in this report speaking about the planning board. There have been two planning board meetings since this body last met. There was a special meeting on Tuesday, July 18th, to hear application PB23-02, that's the 161st Avenue application. The board and the public heard from the applicant's architect and engineer about a proposed 30-unit apartment building with 47 proposed parking spaces. The meeting adjourned after nearly 4 hours and was carried to the August 3rd meeting. At that meeting, it was announced that the applicant for the project has requested to be carried to the September meeting as they are working on revisions to this plan. As of now, it appears another special meeting will be announced on September 7th, the night of that planning board meeting, to continue this significant application. As soon as that date is confirmed, the borough will let everyone know. In other business, on the August 3rd meeting, a bulk variance request for a garage was approved for 87 Memorial Parkway. This was a more time-consuming process than normal, as the applicant and a neighbor negotiated a settlement regarding the proposed structure was approved. There remains much interest and unfortunately a great deal of misinformation, particularly on social media, regarding the planning and zoning process. Again, I invite interested parties to come to planning board meetings to learn more about how it all works, or send me an email. While I can't discuss specifics about any pending application coming before the board, I am always willing to answer general questions about process and procedures. Finally, many of you will likely have already seen this, but just in case, on July 17th, the Monmouth County Parks Department completed installation of the Sherrill bike lane markings on Avenue D and Center Avenue, linking the two sections of the Henry Hudson Trail. And Mayor, I'm very pleased to report I've witnessed a 100% reduction in confused and lost cyclists along the route. Phase two of the project will be an update to the signage along that corridor. I would like to just pass along my thanks to the Park System, our Atlantic Highlands Police Department for their supervision that day, our Department of Public Works, and of course, Mr. Ferragina for their help in making this happen. Thank you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you. Councilwoman?
Thank you. Vito, we hope you feel better. So I'm going to do the shade tree on behalf of Vito, who normally gives our shade tree report. We had a really good meeting last night of the Shade Tree Commission, and want to thank some of our unsung heroes for doing a lot of watering. I see some of them here right now. They don't necessarily want to be recognized, so I'll just look at you individually and thank you with my eyes. But there's been a lot of help from members of the community in making sure that our trees are watered, but DPW has really stepped it up also. Thank you to Mr. Ferragina for allowing overtime to make sure that our trees aren't dying. We know that there's significant issues with the trees over across the street in Veterans Park, and between Mr. Phillips and the County Shade Tree Commission and our Shade Tree Commission, we're going to look at some solutions for that. But special thanks to a very near neighbor over on Mount for keeping an eye on those trees. Also, the Shade Tree Commission has engaged with CME on some significant, and I'm holding it, it's 7 pages of possible suggestions to be added to our municipal code with regards to primarily tree removal. And what needs to happen throughout the entirety of the municipality. So the Shade Tree Commission will spend the next month reviewing the recommendations from our arborist. We've had some trees come down that are really beautiful old trees, and we want to make sure that not just in this steep slope, but throughout the municipality, that we're making good decisions about tree removal and tree trimming. I know myself, I went through the process of tree trimming. We had a licensed person was approved to come last week, and they put us off a week, and I had to call DPW because I was worried that their truck was going to get caught in a limb that came down because we've had significant weather events. So Shade Tree is really focused on this, and especially the permitting process. If you're in the steep slope, you need to get a permit to either trim your trees or to remove trees. So that is required, and that's a code enforcement violation if you do not do that. So that's it for Shade Tree. Did I cover it, Vito? The Shade Tree Commission would like to restart a newsletter. So they're working on it. It'll probably be quarterly, but Mr. Thorne, our treasurer, has a list of topics of interest that we will be at some point soon starting a newsletter from the Shade Tree Commission. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, everything else. tomorrow morning, Mr. Fergine and I will be having another meeting with the Aubrey Group, who's already been creating a menu of options for the mayor and council and administration to consider various grants. Not as reported by Mr. Dockerby. But there's already been a couple meetings with our grants folks, and they really are focusing on the priorities of the mayor and council. They've also already identified options that other departments can write for themselves, so we're not paying the grant writer for something that's maybe low-hanging fruit. I know Chief Reiner had applied for an additional body armor grant just that was brought to his attention by the group, so that's really wonderful. And we're pleased with that process and are looking forward to both short and long-term opportunities that we can move forward. I am thrilled to announce that we're moving forward with a plan to plan what will be ultimately the property that the borough will own down at Center Avenue Park. The Open Space Fund is allowed to give funds to plan and for professional services regarding open space and potential open space. So we have a Survey Monkey that is going to be going to residents hopefully within the next week to 10 days that will ask all the neighbors in Atlantic Highlands and friends that visit Atlantic Highlands what they would like to see there, and it could be anything. Like, what we want to discuss everything. And then the plan would be there would be three public workshops. September would be breakout groups to discuss the parameters of a park design that includes the existing space and the space that will be gaining. October would be a public workshop with breakout groups with a minimum of two conceptual site plans based on the information obtained by the first workshop. So they'll really, the DMR is our planner, and they will really be listening. We'll be in small groups. Mr. Murphy and I are both on this committee and really want to hear what the public wants. And then in November, there'll be another public workshop showing preferred conceptual site plan of the park based on input provided during the first two workshops. So there is a lot of work that's been done to create a structure for this and moving forward. And I really want to thank the members of the Open Space Committee and the liaisons from Environmental, Shade Tree, for being part of that. Briefly, the Harbor year-to-date finances are slightly behind last year, but it's partially due to the fluctuation in fuel costs, and additionally because actually our new attorneys have been aggressively doing collections, so we're doing really well with any outstanding collections. I think it's Miller Hill Film Company, it's Kevin Smith's film company, have requested, came before the board to request parking for crew cars and their equipment down in the harbor when they're filming over the next month. Mr. Succici probably knows more about this than I do, but they'll be filming at both, they're potentially going to be filming on one of the piers in the harbor and definitely filming at Smog Castle. It's the story of Kevin's life, apparently, and there's some cool celebrities that may be visiting. Names were dropped. Come to the harbor meetings. just on harbor special events, we've got the food truck event and the music festival on Sunday, and then our children's library, and Miss Lauren, is incredible and super creative. She's going to be doing a learning session in the harbor on September 7th to teach children about therapy horses.
Little Sebastian.
Is it really Little Sebastian?
No.
Joe T is mayor. Mark your calendars, I think, at around 3 o'clock. And the Hedry Hudson tennis team will be returning to the harbor for practice, and once again, we'll be using our courts for their home courts for the Admirals. And finally, two things. The Chamber of Commerce, tickets for Taste of Atlantic Highlands are on sale. It's Sunday, September 10th, 2023. It's got a lot of participation from local businesses. It's $45 per person over 12 years old and $15 for children 12 and under. And you can purchase tickets online at the new ahchamber.org website, or you can purchase them at any of the participating businesses. And then finally, I did not ask you if you were reporting on the DOT meeting. Mr. Paragina?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll leave that to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mayor. It's going to be awesome to talk about today. So I will try to get through mine quickly, but I got a lot here. Just to add to the first aid report, great job, John. We did have 16 calls in August already, so that does bring our total up to 281 calls for the year. Also want to mention the chief is putting eyes in the sky. Chief Huberty is starting a new drone program that will assist with our water emergency situations, missing people, or any concerns deep within the woods. Members of the squad will be going through extensive training in the operations of the drone, as well as being licensed to the FAA. Shout out from the chief. We are looking for members. So if any community resident would like to inquire, please send an email address to info@ahfirstaid.org. Just to add to the recreation report, Mayor, the next meeting is August 17th, 6:30 p.m. Tomorrow, August 11th, will mark the last day of our recreation summer camp. And I want to say a big thank you to the new director, Maria Whitehead, for doing such a great job in her first year in this role. Any parent of the kids that I know said it was fantastic. We averaged about 70 to 100 kids each day out of 150 some odd kids that signed up. Jumping over to DPW, maintenance and repairs have been done inside Borough Hall over the last few months. Painting, repairs to the HVAC, cleaning, and AM radio work. Most of this interior work is being done by Bob, a.k.a. Borough Hall Bob. I think it's hilarious, but that's his nickname. Street Department is conducting tree and shrub trimming around all borough streets, signs, town. The Water and Sewer Department recently handled a water valve leaking on Hooper Avenue. And as far as sweeping goes, the road sweeper has been repaired and is back in service. The DPW is trying to get caught up in all the areas in need of sweeping since the unit was out of service for so long. I was going to touch on open space. Lori, Ms. Fallinger covered all of that. Just a couple things to add to, just one thing or two to add to Harbor. Recently, the playground was recently updated, and the Harbor put new woods surrounding the park, along with 60 yards of certified playground mulch to protect the kids. I want to say a big thank you to the team for making the Harbor playground fun and safe. A couple things to add to my report. Basically, just stuff that we've been having. I did speak with County Commissioner Director Tom Arnone about setting up a day with him and other representatives from the county to visit Atlantic Highlands and access some of the county assets. He's open to setting up a day in the near future. All members of the governing body are welcome to join us. And I'd like to ask Rob if you can assist in setting that up and contact the county over the next couple days.
Sure.
If you'll do that, that'd be great. Assistance from the county is vital in small communities like ours, and I'm truly grateful for the relationship and collaboration with Director Mr. Arnone. Thank you to the administrator for working so closely with the county for the past 2 years. In previous meetings, we had a concern addressed about the trash around town, especially in the harbor. The concern expressed of litter in the harbor was something where after the meeting, I reached out to Rod to inquire about more garbage cans around town. Rod reached out to Jimmy Phillips, and within a short period of time, Jimmy was able to acquire 9 additional garbage cans, at a fraction of the cost, as mentioned earlier by Councilman Crowe. I'd like to thank Rob, Jimmy, and all DPW employees for the additional time it will take to maintain those garbage cans. And also want to thank the Chief of Police for putting the electronic sign down at the harbor, reminding our residents not to litter, as well as not to pick. There have been some environmental concerns regarding the McConnell tract that were mentioned. I just want to let the public know that NJDEP and the Monmouth County Board of Health officials have been made aware of recent concerns from residents at the development site. Representatives from the Monmouth County Board of Health have been on site multiple times to inspect and monitor the work being done. I've spoken to our borough administrator, Neil Daly, to confirm that the borough is aware of the concerns and is in communication with DEP and the Monmouth County Board of Health. Anyone with concerns or questions are encouraged to reach out to our borough administrator or the NJDEP or Monmouth County Borough Board of Health. And the contact information, in case you don't have it, NJDEP's phone number is 1-877-927-6337. And Monmouth County Health Department, 732-431-7456. So you're always welcome to email the borough administrator, and you will make them aware on your behalf. Bayshore Pharmacy will be, this is Overdose Awareness Month, as many of you have maybe probably noticed the flags out in front of our hall. Bayshore Pharmacy will be offering free Narcan throughout the month. Those in need can make their request anonymously, and this service will be provided by the state at no cost. I was going to touch on Chamber of Commerce, which Councilmember Hohenlanger did. As far as the police department, I stopped down there today to speak with the chief for a little bit, and what I noticed was the vestibule that was recently redone. This is much more informative and appealing to the public, and I wanted to say great job. If you haven't been down there, I would recommend that you go down there. There's some, it looks great. I want to see, and while you're down there, say hello to the police officers. Lastly, in the last meeting, we discussed a former governing body member who had passed away. Requested special bunting to be hung outside of our hall when any former member of our governing body passes away. We did this in honor of Will Curry, and Rob Grip gladly acquired the buntings in Gondola. We won't see those up there for a very long time. Just want to let everyone know that we're done. I think that wraps up my report, Max.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And administrator's report.
Okay, so I attended the Central Jersey Health Insurance Fund virtual meeting held on Wednesday, July 19th. On Wednesday, July 26th, I attended the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection Office of Climate Resilience, which was a learning session, a virtual learning session with the New Jersey League of Municipalities on the Extreme Heat Resilience Action Plan currently under development. The session focused on priorities and needs of heat-impacted high-risk at-risk communities and populations. Guest speakers were the New Jersey Chief Resilience Officer and the New Jersey Deputy Chief Climate Resilience Officer. Governor Murphy signed Executive Order Number 337, ordering the U.S. and state flag to be flown at half-staff during appropriate hours on Sunday, August 6th, in recognition and mourning of the 50th anniversary of the passing of a dedicated public servant and hero, former Woodbine Chief of Police Philip John DeSantis. Governor Murphy then signed Executive Order Number 338, ordering the U.S. and state flag to be flown at half-staff during appropriate hours from Friday, August 4th through Monday, September 4th, in recognition and mourning of Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver. And then Acting Governor Nicholas P. Scutari signed Executive Order Number 339, ordering the U.S. and state flag to be flown at half-staff during appropriate hours on Monday, August 14th, in recognition and mourning of Senator and Assemblyman James S. Cafiero. August 31, as was previously mentioned, is International Overdose Awareness Day. As was done last year in front of the borough, as I'm sure you've all seen, we have a display to raise awareness, which will stay there until September 5th. For the past 3 years, the Prevention Coalition of Monmouth County, their opioid task force has supplied Monmouth County municipalities with a display to honor those whose lives have been lost and to celebrate those in recovery. The display consists of 50 purple flags that each represent one life lost to overdose in Monmouth County from January 1 to March 31st during this year. It also consists of two signs that explain the display and two white flags that represent all the individuals who lost their lives to overdose throughout 2022. Each participating municipality and business will be displayed on Facebook, town community pages, and the coalition's website, pcofmc.org. August 2nd, the mayor, myself, and Councilman Hohenleitner met with two representatives of the DOT to discuss concerns relative to Memorial Parkway, as well as the jug handle on the south side of Route 36 adjacent to the Foodtown parking lot. We also went on site with them to do a visual assessment to address the concerns that we have as a municipality with them, and they will follow up. These are new employees to the DOT, and they seem very responsive, very cooperative, and just having them come here and meet with us was 10 times more helpful than what we've got from our predecessors since I've been here in the borough. So even though they're not here, I thank them and look forward to continuing to work with them to try to resolve some of these concerns that we have. The second annual Atlantic Highlands Health and Wellness Fair will be held Tuesday, September 12th at the Senior Center building for all borough employees. As previously mentioned, the funds were awarded in a Central Jersey Health Insurance Fund grant application that the borough processed and was awarded. Regionalization. The borough clerk was notified that the Commissioner of Education has granted authorization to the Atlantic Highlands, and Henry Hudson Regional Boards of Education to conduct a special election on September 26th from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., whereby the voters of Atlantic Highlands and Highlands boroughs may vote on a public question. Atlantic Highlands voters will vote at the Hess Center. The school board will be paying the district board workers and the poll site fees. Voting by mail will be permitted. The next council meeting will be held September 14th at 7 p.m. And lastly, I'd like to provide some comments regarding the Denholz construction site. Regarding that site, I would like to provide some information for clarity. The borough engineer will also provide some information during his report. Aside from the information that he and I are providing, should you have questions regarding that property and project, I ask that you please email those questions to me so the most accurate information can be researched and provided back to you. I, along with the borough engineer, fire marshal, DPW director, and others, attended a pre-construction meeting with Denholz in May. Since the construction has begun on that private property located off of Avenue D, there have been a few residents who have expressed environmental concerns ranging from dust to contamination to reports of oil slicks on the water. We were informed that several complaints were filed with the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. That department, the NJDEP, which is the highest level of environmental authority in the state, has visited the site several times, as well as the County Board of Health, which is dispatched each time an official complaint is made and has been on site at least 7 times. To our knowledge, both the NJDEP and the County Health Department have not identified any cause for action from their respective departments, and the construction site has been kept active. The borough code enforcement officer has been on site multiple times per day and has not identified any concerns. The borough fire marshal and water sewer license superintendent have also been on site several occasions with no concerns that I am aware of. The OEM coordinator has been advised of the complaints of the DEP and does not have any concerns at this time that I am aware of. My office has had conversations with the police chief as well as DPW director regarding road closures and any needs or concerns their respective departments may have relative to their respective roles. Per the code enforcement officer's request, the Denholz group has a water truck on site, which was previously mentioned this evening, to minimize dusting. The borough DPW department is assisting with refilling that water truck. The borough has also confirmed that all appropriate permits regarding the construction site have been filed to date. My office has advised the borough attorney of the complaints filed with the DEP. The borough engineer and I recently met with the site LSRP and the Denholz representatives. We advise that the Avenue D entrance should continue to be the primary entrance for the construction site. The borough has also had direct contact and conversations with the New Jersey DEP environmental specialist, who has confirmed the site is in compliance, the Monmouth County Health Department public health coordinator, and the Monmouth County Health Department assistant environmental health coordinator, who has been at the site approximately 7 times to date regarding various complaints. Those complaints, again, range from odor complaints to dusting complaints to water-related concerns and complaints and soil contamination concerns. Residents who have environmental concerns may contact the DEP directly. I believe Councilman has provided the contact information. If they email their concerns to my office, I will be happy to forward to the DEP and the Monmouth County Health Department. Residents who feel any laws are being violated or broken are free to email the specific laws to my office, and I will be happy to have the borough attorney look into it. That's all I have at this time, but I'd like to ask the borough engineer during his report to provide some additional information relative to his role as the engineer for the borough. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Rollmeyer.
Thank you. So I'll start with the Denholz property that's currently under construction. As everybody knows, it is a major subdivision that's being constructed now for 16 residential homes. As CME ourselves, what we do is we perform regular observations on site for the site work to confirm that all work is in compliance with the approvals of the board, the resolution, and as best of our authority, the outside agency approvals as well. So my site inspector to date has not found any issues of non-compliance with the approvals. I want to report that. In light of the concerns expressed to the borough, I've reviewed the online DEP files at GeoWeb. I've reviewed some of the files available via Dataminer. And in summary, I just want to make sure everybody's aware that the site is a known contaminated site in the eyes of DEP. It's categorized as a known contaminated site. That has currently a groundwater remedial action permit in place. So there's a groundwater RAP in place. It was issued by DEP in 2017. What does that actually mean? The areas of identified groundwater contamination have been delineated. There's monitoring wells on site that identify the areas that are that remain contaminated. There's three areas identified. This is all available online. Monitoring wells within the three areas of the CEA and outside of the areas. These monitoring wells are utilized by the developers, LSRP of record, to continually monitor. They're obligated to monitor this site through the year 2045. And biannually report to the DEP their findings to ensure that the remedial action that's been agreed upon by the responsible party in the DEP is implemented and protected is the key here. So that's the status of the site. My understanding is the previous issues of soil contamination have been addressed to a point where the DEP has issued RAO's response action outcomes, which basically closes the concern with soil contamination. So the RAOs are in place for soil contamination on site. The groundwater remediation permit identifies monitoring and natural attenuation as the agreed upon method to address it. And the future reporting responsibility will not fall within onto the borough shoulders. That will remain with the McConnell piece and the future property owners. So myself, the borough administrator, we met with the developer, we met with the contractor, and the site's assigned LSRP earlier this week to review the concerns that we've received. In summary, dust was one of our first concerns that we heard of, and there's a water truck on site now to address that. Erosion and silt within the runoff that's been observed, that's been addressed by way of resetting and maintaining the perimeter silt fencing. That's one action that my site inspector does keep an eye on regularly, that the silt fence is maintained. In terms of the soil and odors, that we've expressed that concern to the site's LSRP. They're working on a plan to propose to us to try to address it, whether that's use of PIB, whether that's use of perimeter air quality monitoring. They're going to present that to us and we'll review it with our LSRP of record. So all the documents in place, correspondence and concerns, I've looped my LSRP in on the issue. We've reviewed everything. in discussion, we had additional discussion today between the LSRPs. The site LSRP indicated a lot of the soil that had previously been identified as contaminated has been removed and remediated. I talked about the REOs. But I just want to make sure everybody's aware that we are taking this very seriously and going beyond what the DEP has done, the health department has done, the various emergency response entities of the municipality, and what we're going to ensure that before any of the property is transferred over and entitled to the borough, we're going to make sure we're comfortable with it from an environmental standpoint, whether that's soil sampling, use of PID. Our LSRP has the opportunity to recommend to the borough whether or not it's time to transfer title, and that won't happen until everybody's comfortable.
Doug, I do mention saying, just spelling out that acronym, LSRP.
Oh, yeah. The DEP loves acronyms. Yeah. And when you speak to them,
yeah. So LSRP is a licensed site remediation professional. It's you have to be certified with the state, and it basically handles all things environmental contamination, remediation. It's the proper professional to handle issues that are known to be contaminated. At this point, if you, any property that is a known contaminated property, the responsible party is required by the state to assign a licensed SRP to act on behalf of the DEP. They all follow the same set of rules as part of the licensure. It's the right person to get involved when it comes to testing. It's basically a handheld sniffer.
PID.
Yes. Yeah. You, anybody can, it's hard to have a trained nose. You can get a sense or an opinion, but the PID device is it's black and white, it's quantitative, and it tells you whether or not there's an issue.
Great, thank you.
If I could just quickly go through a few more updates on the report. I just wanted to circle back to our 2022 road improvement program. That project remains open at this point. There are some punch list items that we're still working with the contractor to come back and address, you know, making sure a lot of the topsoil gets vegetated, the grass seed pops. We're gonna have to wait for the weather to cool a little bit to really resolve all of that. But at this point, I'm projecting the project to be closed out at or below the original contract value. So that's
good news. Thank you.
The next DOT funding project is East Garfield and Grand. We've submitted plans to DOT for authorization to go out to bid. To receive some minor comments back, and we're addressing that. So once we have those plans and specs in a position, I will bring them here, present here to the mayor, council, and to the residents, and seek authorization to go out to bid. We have an award deadline because it's funded by two DOT grants, partially, mostly. I have an award deadline this October, so we're okay in terms of timeline to get that accomplished to preserve the grant money. Just wanted to report with the county paving project that's underway. Your Borough Public Works Department, your administrator, coordinated the site meeting. We met with representatives of the County Engineering Department with regards to their plans to resurface and improve portions of Ocean Boulevard. So we met them on site following some significant rain events. We wanted to make sure that their work really addresses it to the best extent possible our drainage needs, as their county right away traverses through the municipality. So it was a great meeting to have with the county. Lastly, July 17th, the DEP put into effect their inland flood protection rule, which basically modified the stormwater management rules and regs for the entire state. Each municipality has a year to implement that locally. I'm going to be looking at the model ordinance and bringing it back here to make a recommendation to implement it locally to reconcile the rules and regs at this point. Basically, a couple of the highlights for the new rule is fluvial flood elevations. That's water levels projected within streams and rivers that are not tidally influenced, you know, rain events. They're gonna require them to be modeled at a higher design flood elevation to provide extra protection for new construction and modifications to existing construction, as well as the precipitation curves or the rainfall curves. At this point, there's really not a consideration for climate change and future rainfall events. So the precipitation data that we're all going to be required to model our storm events against will be for projected precipitation events for the year 2100.
Wow.
So they're in effect at the DEP level at this point. So any development that's subject to DEP review, they're under that current rule. We're going to going to recommend to reconcile ours as quickly as possible.
Thank you. So we've all been busy with the Denholtz site this month. My office reviewed the record regarding this site and the remediation orders, and have written, as requested by the borough administrator, to the bureau chief at NJDEP, asking them to help us figure this out and to send staff to coordinate with the borough to make sure that any issues are being properly addressed. I also have an update on Mother Teresa, which is we did make an offer. Council authorized me to make an offer, but it's done unresponsive. I had spoken to the attorney on several occasions and said, if that's acceptable to you, give us a counteroffer. Mm-hmm. We have yet to receive a counteroffer. The other thing we've been doing is drafting the ordinances that were introduced tonight and expressing legal opinions to the borough administrator, which are subject to privilege.
Okay. Thank you. Can I ask when we put the offer in?
Right after the executive committee meeting a month or so ago.
Okay. Okay. It's been more than two meetings.
Probably a couple of meetings, right.
All right. All right. Thanks.
And I've spoken to him and said, you know, at this juncture, we're waiting for a counteroffer if our offer is unacceptable. And not getting, he says, I'll get you one. I haven't gotten one.
Now, that's in Trenton, or is that...
It's the attorney
for the diocese. Okay, thank you. And now moving on to public comment. Please move forward. Name, address. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Excuse me. My name is Francis Brennan. I live at 56 Bayside Drive. And my request is with regard to ordinance, I'm not sure if this is the correct number, but it's 300-8. Does that mean anything to anybody? But it's in regard to time limits for placement and removal of containers, which are garbage cans. Right. And it's divided into two sections, one for residential and one for commercial. And What I would request is that the council consider adding to the residential section of the ordinance wording that's in the commercial section of the ordinance. And in particular, the time, I think the times are fine. I don't think most people have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. People put the kids out too early, bring them in too late, but not very much, not very often. However, in the residential section, let's see, this is the end of the section of the ordinance. Mm-hmm. Such containers must be stored in such a manner as not to create a nuisance or annoyance to adjacent neighbors. They cannot remain on the curb line, as it says earlier. And in the commercial section of the ordinance, it says pretty much the same thing, but it adds, such containers shall be stored in a place that is not visible from the street, curb line, or sidewalk. And both sections say, in such a manner as not to create a nuisance or annoyance to adjacent neighbors. I think that's a little iffy, if you ask me, but what may annoy me may not annoy some or all of you.
But anyway, on my street, people leave their garbage cans out on the street 24/7. And I would first of all request that the council urge the code enforcement officer to review that issue more than it's being reviewed presently. And that you also then consider, in addition to the residential part where people cannot put their garbage cans out where you can see them when you drive by. If you drive down the street, you'll be greeted right as soon as you get on the street by houses along there where people would leave their garbage cans out. It's a quality of life issue, I know. It has nothing to do with safety, not really, to do with safety or anything like that, but quality of life.
So, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your comments, sir. I will have a comment, conversation directly with the code enforcement officer, so that he can look into this and address it. We're very sensitive to, I know what you're talking about, there's something called visual pollution, right? Mm-hmm. So, I get it. I'll have a conversation with the person tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of things. The
9130.
Still, sorry.
Still there.
A couple of meetings ago, there was a conflict, I'll call it conflict, but it's more confusion, with special events committees. There was a couple of requests that went to one committee, didn't go to the other committee at the harbor, and there was communication issues about some events at the harbor, I believe. Did we ever resolve which event committee kind of has control over the other one, or?
So any event that's held in the borough itself, regardless of its location, should file, those individuals or that group should file a special events application, right?
With the borough?
With the borough.
Okay.
Now, I think, and there's two representatives on the dais here who belong to the Harbor Commission, mm-hmm. but the concern was that when there's events that are proposed to be held at the harbor itself,
right.
there's many elements that occur at the harbor, but they have their own schedule, they have events that occur there on a regular basis, there's the traffic with our boats that have to be taken into consideration, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the concern is, before anything is approved, they should really fill out a form for the harbor as well and have the Harbor Commission review it also, because they may catch things and have to talk about things on their end, regardless if the borough approves it or not, right? So there's to be a double filter system, and generally speaking, I believe that's what the emphasis there was.
So, from 2 months ago to today, have we fixed the problem? I guess that's the real question.
I know that there's been communication addressing what I just said to the harbor and vice versa, and we've had a couple applications come through for the harbor that those groups received both applications and were told they got to fill both out and submit them. So as far as I'm concerned, it appears that it was resolved, but the two accounts people can weigh in if they'd like.
Yeah, I would say that from a process perspective that there are a couple of things that Mrs. Merkel has implemented now, not just for the Harbor Commission, but also Shade Tree, that we're making sure that the various commissions that are affected are being informed, or at least, and in the case of the harbor, being asked. And it's a lot of the harbor piece of it is we have, you know, leases with our tenants, so we're just making sure that something's not approved by the municipality. Ultimately, the municipality has to approve for, you know, fire safety and if the county health department of all that stuff, so that's not stuff that's under the harbor's purview, but activities happening in the harbor are under our purview.
So an event in the harbor requires a harbor event form.
Yes.
But does it also require a park?
Yes, always.
Okay. Yeah. As long as everybody understands.
Yes.
Great. The discussion with the DOT, which I just heard went very well, was there conversation about the sidewalk at the food tent?
There was.
Great. Can we hear about it?
So we talked about that, as that was one of the items we discussed, and then we brought them on site so they could visually see it.
Mm-hmm.
And they took some pictures, they wrote some notes, they thought that it looked odd the way it is right now, and they said they would research it internally, get back to us, and if they could implement plans to have the owner adjust what's currently there, they will.
So that's the feedback that came back to us.
And if you look at the parking aisle between the two lanes for that end, there's definitely an extra 15, 10 or 15.
Yeah, so it's about
some point those spaces got moved over to the curb.
They were thorough in their picture taking, and they also, it was the same day that there was an accident on that corner. So, so there was a lot of access because the police were there to protect.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of access, Mickey was there. There was a lot of access to be able to walk the whole entire part of the property without traffic.
Yeah, and that column that you're referring to, there's about 10 extra feet, more or less. Because I went there a while back when Mr. Leinsdorf addressed the concern with me. I went with the police, and the police measured it. Officer Ferris measured it. So you're right, there's ample room. If those bumpers were moved back and either a delineation line was painted or if a formal sidewalk was put in. But I'll wait for the DOT to come back to us. I have been in contact with the property owner as well over there, and he said he'll cooperate with the DOT, with the municipality. So it looks like we're starting the process and have to put everybody's heads together to work on this.
There's a definite castle right away there. So many feet, I'm sure. Yeah. Under NJDOT.
Yeah, there's a telephone pole on that sidewalk. Right, so yeah, that's anchored by a
guide wire,
right? So that's one of the concerns we addressed as well, because as you know, if a child is riding a bike or somebody's walking, looking at their phone and not paying attention, they're going to hit that. So they took a picture of that as well. We addressed obviously Memorial Parkway and the condition of the curbs or lack thereof. We discussed the lighting, we discussed the poles,
lights,
the traffic lights, the intersections, the crosswalks. These guys were good, so hopefully this leads to some enhancements.
Good. Questions about emergency equipment. I know there was conversation about the need for a new ambulance. Has there been any, recent conversation about purchase of a new ambulance?
Recently, no. We're still reviewing that request. Hopefully there'll be some more tangible information to report at the next council meeting.
Okay. Second question, will there be action after tonight's executive session on fire apparatus?
No.
No action. Okay. Last thing I have to discuss is the McConnell track. Thank you all for getting so involved, all of you that were there. I also was there many times over the last 3 weeks. And I understand that there's monitoring of the wells, where the plumes are, everybody knows where they are, but the real problem is at the water line. And if you go there at mid tide or high tide, you see oil in the water. There has been drone video, and I also got a phone call on Sunday from a resident on Harbor View to come to his house to look up the coastline. There was a definite silt line, even when there's not construction going on. So there's an issue with the water line. If you go to the high water area at any time, I don't care what time of day, if you dig down 8 inches, you're going to find oil. If you smell the samples, they all smell like oil. Some of you have had your noses in my samples. They all smell like oil. So I understand that it's under the control of an LSRP and NJDEP, but the problem is at the water line. None of you who have little children or grandchildren would let your kids swim on the beach at the Category Club. It's that bad. The silt and the oil travel together. It's not heavy oil, but it's a sheen, and it follows the silt. So I appreciate all the conversation, but there is still a problem. And I want to know what's going to be done about it. If you or I were to dump crankcase oil into a sewer anywhere in town, we'd probably get arrested. That's a complete violation of the environmental rules. But yet, that's what's happening every tide at the Denholz property. So what's the next step?
So I've had personally direct conversation with the DEP and the health department, some of the same individuals that you've spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
And I have brought up all the concerns, including the concern that you just addressed regarding the water line.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that our borough attorney's letter also mentions that concern in it as well. Beyond that, it is the Department of the DEP
and the health department to investigate and to find if there's something that they can be done or should be done. The borough does not have the is not equipped to do that.
So the elected officials of the borough, of the town on the Bayside, have no voice with the DEP.
They do. That's why we sent the letter.
Okay. So, so right now, we know there's oil going in the water. We know there's silt going in the water. What's the plan?
We are
polluting the Sandy Hook Bay.
We've asked the DEP to investigate the matter.
Okay. So can I share with you what I witnessed with the Monmouth County Inspector? He got a complaint. I just happened to be in the parking lot of Center Avenue Park, and I noticed a man standing up against the gate of the Denholz property, just watching the construction. I noticed a seal on the door of his car said Monmouth County Health Department. So I took my 8 samples, and I went over and said, here, smell these. And he said, show me where you took them. I took them to the high water mark. I showed him every hole that it punched in the beach. And he was very concerned about a couple of them. Had rubber gloves on, felt the oil in his hand, said, this is unusual. Okay. So, now he knows there's a problem. And yet, every tide, we're putting oil in the water, silt in the water, and the DEP is telling us everything's just fine. It's not right. It's not right. Something else has to be done. I understand their concerns about the wells. I get it. But the problem is not at the wells. It's at the water line, right at the retaining wall. If you go there at midtime, you see this, you see the sheen in the water. It's there. There's no question. The Catamaran Club members see it every day. They see the silt often. They took a drone video of the silt. It went all the way to the lighthouse in Leonardo. That's not bad. That's terrible. So I appreciate your help. I know this is a tough situation, but something else has to be done. Thank you.
Is there anyone with their hand up on Zoom?
No hands raised, Mayor. 15 attendees currently.
Thank you. I see no hands, so we're going to move on, and I need a motion in a second to go into executive session.
I'll move that, Doctor.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And we'll be in there for about 15 minutes.
No action will be taken.
Thank you. No action will be taken. Thank you. I need a motion and a second to come out of executive session.
So moved, Darby.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Now I need a motion and a second to adjourn. And all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. See everyone in September.
That's a song. In September.
Okay,